In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus had just finished teaching parables around where he was, around his hometown, Nazareth. And then he went to Nazareth and began to teach in the synagogue. Now, he was in his hometown, and normally, at least in those days, in your hometown, you felt at ease. You knew your neighbors. You knew the kids that you played with when you were young. You did your studies there. You played sports and so forth there. You were at home. That was your hometown. That's where you learned about God. That's where you learned how to love your parents, where you learned how to imitate your parents and all the good things that they do, and be appreciative of your parents for having taken care of you, for feeding you, for clothing you, for teaching you, for giving you many blessings. So that's what one's hometown is, and one would expect that all those who knew you would be acting warmly towards you. That's where we made our first friendships. Maybe our first love was there. This was home to you. But our Lord is teaching there, and his home people are surprised. They didn't know where does he get all this stuff that he's teaching. Most of them doubted him. A couple of them admired him, but by and large, they were wondering, where does he get that? Is he a sorcerer? Does he get this from the devil? Is he making this up? Is he trying to be popular and show us that he's more intelligent than we are? He was not really very well received. In fact, it came to the point where he was so badly received, he had to leave. This may come as a surprise to many people, but it ought not come as a surprise to us. Most people reject the teachings of Christ, even most people who call themselves Christians, unfortunately. Christ's teachings are very often not taught in Christian churches. They may have social teachings, they may talk about being kind to your neighbor, about the next community meal that they're going to have to raise funds. They may talk about racism. They may talk about all kinds of things, other unsavory things that I won't even mention here. But they don't talk about Christ. They don't talk about what Christ expects of us. Because the thing is, we can call ourselves Christian, but that doesn't mean we're Christian. We're not just Christian because we were baptized or because we were confirmed or chrismated. We are Christian if we follow the teachings of Christ. And the teachings of Christ, as he says, the world hates you, but know that it hated me before you. It hates you because of me, because you are following me. True Christians are persecuted. In fact, I saw an article the other day saying that of all the religions in the world, the one religion that is most persecuted today is Christianity. Even in our own country, here it's starting. There are all kinds of laws being passed. People sometimes even go to jail because their conscience, even if they're working for the government, doesn't allow them to carry through these iniquitous laws. The persecution of Christians is well on its way here. You try putting up a plaque of the Ten Commandments in front of City Hall, or try putting up a manger scene. We say, well, we're a Christian country. No, we're not. No, we're not. We may have been at one time, I'm not sure when, but we are not a Christian country. We are being persecuted on all sides. When I legalized our church here in Virginia, I had the option of celebrating marriages. All I had to do was request of the state, by law, they would have given me the capacity to marry people. But they have laws, like, for example, gay marriage. If a gay couple came to me and wanted to be married, by law, I would have had to celebrate that marriage. Otherwise, they would have delegalized our church. So I didn't go for that option. What I do now is if people want to get married, normally, I say, go to City Hall, get married, and then come and we'll do a Christian celebration of your marriage. And that's just one little detail among growing and growing details. Teachers are being fired from schools and universities. If you follow the press at all, you begin to realize that the persecution has begun here, in Africa, in the Middle East, in Afghanistan. There's not a single Christian church left in Afghanistan, not one. The only chapel is in the U.S. Army base. There's a chapel there, but that the Afghanis can't get to that, so that's the one that still exists. China, it's going on all the time. It's throughout the world. And even among Christians, look at the Christians. Do they love one another? Do they love one another? Are they not fighting amongst each other, accusing each other, condemning each other, calling each other heretics and schismatics and way out people? There's no love lost between most Christians. But the real Christian realizes this is not his land. This is not his country. And I don't mean America. I mean human country here below. Our real country is the kingdom of God. And until we realize that we are citizens of heaven, and we've got to act accordingly, it's going to cost us dearly in many ways and in many things. Do we have that conviction? Do we have that drive? Christ believed so much what his Father told him to teach, he went to the cross for it. That's what that implied. Are we willing to be crucified? Simon the Zealot, we just read today, sawed in half to testify to Christ. If we were arrested, say, if a situation came that we were told either deny Christ or we will either throw you into a mental asylum or we're going to put you in prison for life or we're going to put you to death, what would we do? We can argue, oh, but I have a family, I've got my mother, my father, my brothers and sisters, or if you're married, I've got children. If I allow myself to be put to death, how am I going to take care of them? And yet what Jesus did on the cross, he told St. John, this is your mother. Behold your mother. And to St. John, behold your son, to the Blessed Mother. He abandoned even his family to complete with the will of God the Father. That's the tremendous sacrifice that he made. And many Christians are asked to make that same sacrifice. It's not a social status to be a Christian. In fact, it's becoming unpopular to become a Christian. More and more. Are we willing and ready to die for Christ? We should ask ourselves that question. If we're not, we must not call ourselves Christians. We must not call ourselves believers. We must not call ourselves followers of the Son of God who came on earth to teach us, to forgive us our sins, and to die for us. It's very serious to be a Christian. At one point, Christ was preaching in Nazareth. He had to run away. They wanted to grab him, throw him over a cliff. And he was from there. That's where he was from. He says, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own country. We will not be honored in our own country, according to the words of Christ. Not if we're true Christians. That doesn't mean we have to be weird and quirky and all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, some people really go to extreme. I saw a film recently about the South, the Deep South, the Mississippi, to explain why they act the way they do. This is something I'd like to show you, Father Robert. I'd like to show you that. It's just unbelievable what some people who call themselves Christians, the extremes to which they go. Extremes to which they go. So my brothers and sisters, let us remember we belong to Christ. He's our Redeemer. He loves us to the point He forgives us all our sins. He came so we could go to heaven. He didn't come so we could live comfortably on earth. He didn't come so that everybody would hold us in high regard and praise us and say, oh, what a great man he is, what a great woman she is. No, no. He came to say, do you want to get to heaven? Do you know what the cost is? Can you see the corruption in society? This is not your society. Of course, we're citizens. We have to vote. We have to try and get sometimes the lesser of two evils into government. But at least we do complete with our, we pay our taxes, we support the roads and all of the, we're also citizens of this world. Give unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but unto God the things that are God's. And the things that are God's is our soul, our immortal soul. That's God's. That does not belong to President so-and-so or Senator so-and-so. It belongs to Christ. And are we going to take care of that soul as Christ's treasured possession? My brothers and sisters, I would like to hear these kind of things preached in all the churches today. It would clear the house. I mean, many wouldn't come back, I assure you. The donations would be fewer. You wouldn't get great donations anymore. But you get the gift of God. You get the blessing of God, the love of Christ, and eternal life with Him in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.